Our sermon today is based on a reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Thank you, God, for words of wisdom and encouragement spoken to us. We're looking today at another one of our church mottos. This one is pretty ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's on the office door downstairs. It's a magnet on our refrigerator in the kitchen. It is brief, succinct, and distinct. It describes us and what we are doing. It says, "Be seeking and making disciples." I would add "of Christ" to that. These days, you really need to clarify whose star you are hitching yourself to and proudly proclaim who it is you want to follow. We still have to unpack those three words: being, seeking, making. They're good, strong action verbs. They definitely do not espouse lounging around and letting things slide by. Instead, they insist on us doing something. First of all, being. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? Jesus told us what we should do as he prepared to bid his disciples farewell. "Obey everything that I have commanded you," he said. So if we want to be a disciple of Christ, we need to follow his example. Do the things he did: touching, teaching, healing, reaching. Jesus' overwhelming concern was to show love even to the unlovable, to touch the untouchables, to forgive those the world deemed unforgivable, to welcome the unwelcomed. Being a disciple of Christ is something we should be doing every day, not just trotting it out on Sunday. Being a disciple of Christ means doing things outside of our church, working in our community, feeding, leading, showing, growing. I believe we were at a peak of our discipleship when the fire hit and then the floods hit, and we opened our fellowship hall as a distribution center. We fed people. We got people the supplies they needed. We offered encouragement and hope. You can't get much more disciple than that. And we did it not so much for people to praise us, but for them to praise the Christ in whose name we worked and served. We didn't do it because we wanted accolades. We did it because that's what disciples of Christ do. That's how we be disciples. When I first found out about the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, I was intrigued by the parentheses. It was for me a reminder of whose we were and what we were about. Deliberately being disciples of Christ. It's a title of honor, and we are called to live up to it every day. If you ever wonder what else you can do to demonstrate that you are a disciple of Christ, you need look no further than Matthew 25, verses 35 through 36, where Jesus describes how the righteous will be welcomed into the kingdom of God, because he says, "I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Quite clearly, Jesus tells us what he wants us to do. Feed the hungry. Don't snap their food benefits away from them. Give them something to drink. Don't bottle up the sustenance they need to survive. Welcome the stranger. Don't ice them out and heartlessly send them away. And especially don't be gloating about it like you've done something good. Clothe the naked. Don't leave them alone and freezing, not when you have the resources to help them. Remember how Jesus also said, if you have two coats and someone else doesn't have a coat at all, give him one of yours. He said, take care of the sick. Don't deny them health care, whoever they are, wherever they are from. Health care should be offered compassionately without making people in need jump through hoops made of red tape. Visit the ones in prison. Don't be the ones putting them in prison. And don't debate whether they deserve to be incarcerated or not. Dole out punishment fairly but compassionately. And don't take your own freedom for granted. Don't hold back when you have a chance to give to and help someone else live and survive and thrive. Don't just stand there when somebody nearby collapses and you don't offer help to get them back up on their feet. There was nothing conservative about Jesus. He loved lavishly and gave gloriously and forgave fantastically. And we can do no less than that, not if we want to call ourselves disciples of Christ. The second word is seeking. We're aware that there are a lot of seekers out in the world today. People seeking solace, people seeking truth, people seeking honesty, people seeking justice, people seeking hope, people seeking acceptance. Face it, some people don't feel welcomed or accepted at some churches. Last week, I asked everyone to jot down any words that happened to come to you as you listened to the sermon. I invite you to do so again today. I only got one word last week, and Jackie didn't write it down, but she said it to me, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Welcome is the big word for us, she said. And she's right. Welcome. We welcome people who are asking the big, hard questions about God and Jesus and salvation and eternity. Did you hear that one part in the scripture? It says, the disciples went to meet Jesus at the mountain, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but they doubted. Did you catch that word? They doubted. The very men who had traveled around with Jesus for 3 years and had seen his miracles and had listened to his preaching, they doubted. What were they doubting? That it was really Jesus risen and resurrected right before them? Why couldn't they believe their own eyes? And yet Jesus didn't send them away. Jesus didn't say, okay, you doubters, get out of here. I can't use you. He didn't turn away Thomas, who said he wouldn't believe Jesus had risen from the dead unless he saw and touched the wounds in Jesus' hands. Because of that statement, he's been known through the ages as Doubting Thomas. And yet when Jesus appeared to him, he didn't even have to see the wounds. He proclaimed, my Lord and my God, a cry of utter faith and belief and love. And Jesus commissioned him, along with the ones on the mountain that morning, along with us, to carry on the work Jesus had begun. As we seek potential disciples, we shouldn't turn aside people who may have doubts or questions we maybe can't answer. We need to welcome them, that word again, and let them know we're asking questions too, and we're seeking answers too, and that's all right. They may have the same questions we have, but we feel we shouldn't question God because then that would be faithless. But God is not going to get mad at us for asking questions. Discipleship is available to anyone who is sincerely seeking and willing to be open, to listen, and to learn. We don't make people take a test before welcoming them into our fellowship. We don't have a list of beliefs they have to check off before we welcome them in. It is enough that they want to know more about God and more about Jesus and learn about discipleship. So do we. This ties into the last word of the motto, making. Making disciples entails teaching them, studying the life and the words of Christ, studying the Bible, opening ourselves to learning more and delving deeper into the mysteries of the scriptures. Not just skimming the surface and thinking you're done. It means learning about the circumstances and the context in which the scriptures were written, learning about the audiences for whom they were written, and resisting the very human attempt to say we can take all the descriptions from the past and make them work for today, a very different time and place. For instance, when Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, I'm pretty sure his listeners' ideas of the world were limited. They may have known about Europe and Asia and parts of Africa, but did they know there were other continents out there, such as North and South America and Australia, populated with people they knew nothing about? The early disciples couldn't possibly have known there were other countries and other people on the other side of the world, but we know, don't we? So the ripples in Acts, where the gospel started in Jerusalem and then made its way around the world like the ever-widening circles that are created when you throw a pebble into a pond, those ripples are part of our understanding and our work. Making disciples entails giving people, both new and seasoned believers, opportunities to see love and faith in action. You become a disciple upon baptism, following Jesus' example. Except our baptism is for the washing away of sin. It's a symbol that we are dying to our old sinful self. Baptism is our way of showing our devotion to God and our commitment to following God and doing God's will. When we come up out of the water, we are new, free, forgiven, joyous, loving, open, discerning, learning, tithing, serving, singing, rejoicing, giving, disciples of Christ. Thank you. Jesus bequeathed his work and his power to us. This is our legacy. But we don't go out into the world alone. Jesus' final promise is one we cling to with hope and gratitude. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. All the days, always, forever and ever. As John Trapp wrote, Jesus was essentially saying, I will be with you always to protect you, to direct you, to comfort you, to carry on the work of grace in you, and in the end, to crown you with immortality and glory. Now that's a promise worth holding on to. Remember, all we do as disciples of Christ must be done out of love, not with intimidation or emphasizing the fear of the fires of hell and all that, or with coercion. No, as we seek and be and make disciples, we do it out of the love we have for God and the Christ God has sent us. We do it because we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and we want others to experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We do it because we found love, joy, forgiveness, mercy, redemption, a future, and a hope, and we want others to find it too. It doesn't get much more discipled than that. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for calling us to be, to seek, and to make disciples of Christ for you. Thank you for the promise from Jesus that as we learn and seek and strive, we are never alone. The risen Christ is with us always, sending us forth to do great things in his name and for your glory. We are humbled to know you have entrusted this great commission to us. Empower us to keep working and serving you. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.